Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back on the Fan Morning Show, final hour of the week. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Justin Cuthbert and Ailish Forfar. Forfar, you're a big traveler. You like to jet set.
I'll be traveling across the city with boxes this weekend.
Yeah. The travels won't be very, very...
It will probably take me longer to travel from Yonge and Bloor to King and Bathurst than to travel to Qatar.
That's what makes it more that's what makes it more frustrating is like it's a short drive, but trying to park the vehicle outside each condo building. Anyway, what
and you always get a ticket. Like there's just you're Toronto parking police, you know to linger on the end of the month by condos on the street because people are moving in quickly.
Easy.
It's how you make
your
money.
They're too stressed to care.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was gonna say when I was building you up as a world traveler. Wonder, do you slap a Canadian flag on your backpack or your luggage?
I did when I traveled because everybody likes Canadians.
That's at least, you know, the stereotype. Is it a real thing? Is it something people still do?
I have been stopped before being like, oh, you're from Canada. We love Canada. Nobody's stopping you with an American flag on your bag. Let me tell you that.
Well, they wouldn't do it, right? Because of the stereotype. Anyway, I wonder if our next guest, Peter Galindo, in Qatar right now, Sportsnet soccer writer. Peter, did you throw a Canadian flag on your bag just to earn some street cred, some global street cred?
I haven't done that, but it's funny. Wherever I kind of go, like I've been to, you know, recently Ireland, Scotland, and now Qatar. And every time, everybody automatically assumes that, you know, just hearing the accent, you're American. And they kind of look a little standoffish. And then as soon as you say you're Canadian, they completely let their guard down. It's like, oh, that's fantastic.
See,
I love
we
Canada.
Still got it. No,
we
it,
still
it,
thing. It's a thing.
Common theme, you know?
Okay, so we got credibility from like a humanitarian standpoint. Like we have credibility just by showing off the flag. But I wonder, are the Canadians gaining credibility even in a loss from a soccer standpoint over there in Qatar?
Definitely seems to be the case. Even immediately after the game, as we were preparing for the post-match press conferences, English media, American media, pretty much any contingent you could think of, whenever they saw the Canada country code on my press pass, they would immediately kind of go up to almost like a little bit patronizingly, but I know that it was from a good place. They're like, oh, they played so well. Like they deserve to win that game. That's so unlucky. I'm so sorry. But the theme is always the same in that they played incredibly proactively, as we saw. They really caught everybody by surprise. Maybe some of us who've covered the team for the last few years, not so much. But even I have to admit that even though I thought that Canada wouldn't deviate from their proactive style, I don't think I expected them to grab large portions of control in the game as much as they did.
What was the Canadian fan base like there? I mean, I'm trying to find anyone on social media to follow that's there. And none of my friends, I'm just looking for the Canadian supportership. But was there a good showing or is there a good showing so far?
At that game, yes, and surprisingly so. That's actually something that did catch me by surprise, was just how loud the Canadian fans were. And they were probably outnumbered, I'd say, 3-1 inside the stadium by Belgium fans. But the Belgian fans were really quiet, and the Canadian fans were just into it for even more than the 90 minutes. Even as the players came out to inspect the pitch, as they often do, they show up to the stadium to kind of do a quick walkout, see what the pitch is like, and then walk back in. As every player made their way out of the tunnel, whether it was Alphonso Davies or the third goalkeeper, James Pantemis, they were all giving those players a standing ovation. And then they come out for training. We obviously see that Drake started from the bottom, starts blaring, and the fans are just on their feet applauding like crazy. It was absolutely wild. And everybody who was there was taken aback by just how strong the atmosphere was, thanks to the Canadian fans who were there.
I love to hear it. That makes me very happy. I hope they keep it up because they got a big game this weekend. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see the Croatian tabloid that just came out online. If you haven't, I'll give you the rundown here. It's a naked photo of John Herdman with a Canadian leaf on his face and on
his Photoshop. He's not actually not naked, John Herdman.
A Canadian flag on his mouth and on his private areas.
Yes.
And the headline of this says, you have the mouth, this one says, next to the, well, stripped herdman, but do you have the balls as well? About the comment that he said post-game about how we're going to F Croatia up. Holy, there's some like, I don't know if you saw it yet, but it's obviously going to go viral here on Twitter. But what is the atmosphere between these two teams now? Did we spark a fire or maybe a global war here?
It's possible. And I actually did see the tabloid. Someone had sent it over to me about an hour ago as I was coming to the Canadian training ground here, and I just started to chuckle. I go, you know what, this has now gotten real. And you know what, you kind of like that. You like having a little more intensity to a game that you maybe didn't expect it from. And I'll tell you, maybe one person who's certainly going to be motivated by this, that might be Milan Borjan, who of course, you know, is of Serbian descent, so I'm sure he's going to have a little extra chip on his shoulder, and he'll probably want to back up John Herdman's words more than anybody. But you know, I feel like in terms of, I guess, the Croatian media reaction, John Herdman, when he spoke yesterday and was asked to sort of explain himself for the comments, he almost in classic Herdman style half apologize, like he clearly means no disrespect to Croatians or the Croatian people, maybe even the Croatian players, but he just wants the team to have that, and I say this very respectfully and in a glowing way, but cockiness, maybe no pun intended with that headline, but so I feel like, to me, that was a way to kind of get the players motivated, and it's almost funny how I feel Herdman in these last two games has channeled two very different coaches in his approach. So in that Belgium game, we see him, at least tactically, mirror what Marcelo Bielsa likes to do, and that he likes to man mark, press aggressively, and play very proactively. And then immediately after the game, kind of turns into a Jose Mourinho character where he takes the distraction off the players, because all the discourse was surrounding Alphonso Davies, whether he should have taken the penalty, what went wrong, why Jonathan David couldn't get any of the seven shots on target, all that stuff. And he immediately put the attention onto himself, which I think is a great play, because now that's all everybody's talking about. It seems like we've all forgotten immediately about what happened in that Belgium game, and we're now talking about these comments. So great play from Herdman.
So protective rather than inspirational, you think?
I think it's both. To me, right. I feel like it's almost a two birds with one stone situation, because then he obviously lights a fire under the players, but then he also takes a little bit of the pressure off of them and puts it onto himself. Because even though they are a team, let's just say Canada goes out there, and I mean, I'm touching on wood here right now, but they go out there and lose to Croatia. I don't think there's going to be a lot of attention directed towards the players, but more so to John Herdman, just because of the comments he would have made.
Is he Canada's biggest star there? Like, I know Alphonso Davies is a global superstar, but as you mentioned, and somewhat intentionally here, Herdman's soaking up the headlines and putting himself in Croatian tabloids. I mean, there's a lot of talk about his future, what his next step might be after this World Cup. It feels like he's inserted his name. We always felt like he would, but it is maybe even stronger than I expected.
Yeah, and to no one's surprise, the English media absolutely love him. And listen, Herdman is a delight to speak to. He is an open book. He loves to have, whether it's a 5-minute conversation or a, you know, hour long conversation, he always has time for people. But obviously being from the north of England, he's going to attract a lot more English media attention than the average coach might. And just the fact that he is such a strong motivator of players, the fact that he is now becoming a very adaptable tactician, he's becoming a very complete coach before our very eyes, and the fact that he was, you know, a PE teacher back in his hometown to now coaching a World Cup team and becomes the first coach ever to coach a men's and women's team at a World Cup is obviously a great story. So for sure, he is probably the star for Canada, at least in terms of media attention.
Let's look ahead at Sunday. With the way that the group results have gone so far, is this a must-win for Canada?
It's a must-not-lose, because if they lose, then they're done, mathematically, depending on, obviously, what happens with that Belgium and Morocco game. But a draw is fine here, and that would set them up nicely to go into that last game against Morocco, get a win, and then maybe give themselves a shot, because 4 points is typically what you need to get out of a group in past World Cups. And given how balanced this group has looked so far, and I think most of us anticipated it, but now having seen all four teams play, you can see that there's not going to be much that separates these teams. So really, Canada has to go out there, and they're not going to play with the mentality of, oh, we can't lose this. They're going to play with the mentality of, we're going to try and win this. But that's essentially what they're presented with here after losing the first game.
We're speaking with Peter Galindo in Qatar, sports and soccer writer. Okay, so Canada must not lose on Sunday. What needs to be tweaked or exploited to do so versus Croatia?
Yeah, I do think we're going to see a different approach. So when they played Belgium, the approach was smart because they play with two midfielders in the middle. They tend to get quite separated from each other, Axel Witsel and Youri Tielemans. And we saw that because when Canada started to man-mark Belgium's defenders and kind of put them under the cosh a little bit off goal kicks, turnovers happened. They were able to quickly transition the other way and created lots of chances because of it. That's not going to be as easy with Croatia because, unlike Belgium, first of all, their midfield trio is absolutely world-class. Brozovic, Modric, and Kovacic. You try to press them high, especially if you're going man-to-man, they're just going to run and pass circles around you. So I imagine they're going to be selective with their pressure, and I think you're going to see a third midfielder come in, a third out-and-out midfielder, whether that's Jonathan Osorio, whether that's Ismail Kone, who's, you know, looked outstanding in his World Cup debut at just 20 years old. Someone's going to check in there just to match up in terms of the numerical advantages with Croatia. And I wouldn't be surprised if Alistair Johnston gets dropped for this game because he is on a yellow card. One more means that he'd be suspended for the group stage finale against Morocco. So Richie Larea will probably keep his place. I reckon Sam Adekubi comes in and then he goes to left back. And then Canada plays it just a straight up back four with Atiba Hutchinson sometimes dropping in there to make up a back three in possession for some added protection on the counter. So there's going to be quite a few tweaks, I imagine, just because Croatia is a much different side in terms of how they approach things and how they will probably set up in terms of how they'll play compared to Belgium. One other little caveat, just as I kind of keep rambling on here because there's just so much to focus on, but the one interesting thing I found from that Morocco-Croatia game that I think could apply to Canada here is the fact that when Croatia had opportunities to counter against Morocco, they did not really take them. They were a little slower in the transition. I don't know if that was by choice because Morocco is a quick and youthful team, much like Canada is, especially out wide. And they didn't want to get, you know, in a foot race with Morocco. So I wonder if we maybe don't see Croatia trying to hit Canada on the counter as much as we maybe think.
When you watch that Croatia-Morocco game, we were on the air when it was on and we couldn't really dive into it as much. But I think what we saw and what we read and what we talked when we heard others talking about was that it was pretty impressive from both sides. And then a couple hours later, they look better than Belgium. And I couldn't shake the feeling that they maybe missed out on their best chance to win a game. Did you feel that at all?
Right. I did, yeah. All in the lead up to this game, the game on Wednesday, I was saying that of the first two games, Belgium's the one that's probably the most winnable or the one that you could get a result from. Because Croatia, even though on paper they may not have as many world-class players or players who kind of stand out to you, they are a much more fluid team. They are a team that is more adaptable, I feel, than Belgium. And, I mean, after all, they were the World Cup finalists 4 years ago, and a lot of those players from that team are still on this side now. So I feel like that was probably a missed opportunity, especially because they did have countless chances to at least draw the game, if not win it. So, you know, that's maybe the one little caveat to, well, they played very well was, yeah, but that was also a pretty big missed opportunity, just considering you're going up against probably a tougher challenge now.
Quickly on the point that you made there on Alistair Johnson maybe having to sit out because he's sitting on a yellow. I don't know if you're a traditionalist in this sense, but I think it's absolutely ridiculous that one yellow puts you in a position to potentially miss a game in a short tournament in the knockout stage. Is there like an appetite in the soccer world for a change to that in big tournaments where if you're just on one yellow card, like it's not, it happens. Bookings happen in these games. Should it really put you in that much of a predicament or a bind? Because I know like it's about the depth of these teams, but also we just want to see the best players in the world in these games. And it would be a shame to see one of Canada's top defensive players have to sit out because of a yellow booking.
I completely agree. And I think players and media fans, everybody can agree with that, because it's like when you really think about it, and I know that, the yellow cards do get wiped out after certain stages, but regardless, when you really think about it, I'm just going to throw out a random example here, but let's say Alphonso Davies picks up a yellow in the first game, round of 16 starts, he gets another yellow, and then he's suspended for the quarterfinal. And everyone is saying, you know, maybe they didn't watch the Canada games. They go, oh, where's Davies? And literally the answer is, oh, he was a second late on a tackle in the group game against Belgium in like the 31st minute on a really innocent play. Like it's completely ridiculous.
It's a great way to put it.
That actually happens. So, I mean, frankly, it probably should be three yellows and then you get suspended, because I do believe, but now unless you're absolutely cynical with it, I feel then you can kind of police it a little more, because maybe then if you're trying to be tactical about it, you can maybe combat it some way by just sending off the player, giving them two yellow cards, which I feel sometimes referees are hesitant to do because they don't want to be the center of attention. But that could be one way to counter the whole, well, all right, if you end up adding another yellow to it, are you then incentivizing certain players to be a little more cynical with their tackles and the timing of their tackles?
I have a question about what the difference is in terms of the mental state of the guys when they come into game two. Game one, I felt like they maybe rode some confidence, some adrenaline, looked like they obviously came out hard and fast. But does game two change you a little bit in terms of, okay, now that you've lost the adrenaline of it being your first World Cup, the first opportunity in Canada in, you know, 36 years, do you think more nerves settle in with this this team and the lack of, you know, maybe veteran experience being in one of these big moments takes over?
I think so. And listen, I'm not a former professional player or a current professional player, so I can't really, you know, claim to be an expert in this. But I can imagine when the players came out just to inspect the pitch. And keep in mind, the Belgian fans and players did not do the same thing in terms of like reacting the way that the Canadian fans did to the Canadian players. And you're hearing cheers for yourself as you're just coming out to just kind of see what's up. And you kind of then set in, like the moment then sets in, oh my God, we're at a World Cup. This is real. Because I imagine a lot of the players, in fact, they actually said to us in the lead up to the game that it really hadn't sunk in yet. And it probably won't until they step onto the pitch. And I think you could see in that moment when they came out for warmups, even when they were walking up for the anthems, I think it then kind of hit them. And you could see, certainly with the likes of Jonathan David, that the thought of, oh my God, I could score the first Canadian goal at a men's World Cup ever. And that kind of took over. And then as Davies missed the penalty, as the chances kept coming, but not falling, you then get that sense of dread, like, oh my God, are we ever going to score? So it really does become a mental challenge to overcome, I am sure. Maybe now that they've gotten past it, they saw what they did against Belgium, they'll be even more motivated to go out there and kind of right those wrongs, because this is what this team has done. When they've kind of hit a hurdle, the next time they come up against it, they're able to leap it quite significantly.
From the standpoint of individual performances, who surprised you the most and who disappointed you the most?
To me, the most surprising performance in a positive sense was Kamal Miller. Because, look, he is a solid defender for sure. He's very calm on the ball. He's very composed. But his speed on the turn, especially in those one-on-one duels, in those counterattacking situations, he can get burned. And I thought he handled himself magnificently in those situations. He was all over the pitch, timed his tackles incredibly well. That challenge on Michy Batshuayi, I want to say it was after 20, 25 minutes, when the ball kind of got crossed, you know, across the face of goal. And then he kind of just out of nowhere, just lunged in there, made the crucial block. I was blown away by how well he did. He was probably the man of the match and deservedly so. From the opposite sense, I would say probably Jonathan David. And it's not because, you know, he played poorly, because he was certainly very active, as we saw with the seven shots. And I think he had over 1.1 expected goals in total. It was his selection in the box. Normally he is someone who is a lot more incisive in those areas and will kind of see all of his options as they're playing out. And then he'll make the right decision most of the time. There was one moment in, I want to say, the 35th minute, and he received a terrific pass from Tejon Buchanan through a bunch of Belgian bodies, and Richie Larea was wide open to the right side, just to the right of center in the box, and David opts to shoot it instead of just laying it off simply to Larea to have a clear shot at goal. So it was those moments where I thought, you know, David doesn't normally do that. And it was those moments that I think really hurt Canada's chances.
Yeah, that's that 1.1 expected goals from an individual level. I'm making an assumption there, but that says it all. He deserved to have, or he should have had, one goal. He should have had Canada's goal, but he wasn't able to provide it. And a lot of pressure on him, obviously. There's talk of a bigger move for him, and a performance, a goal on the World Cup stage would certainly probably help him along in that process. Okay, hard-hitting stuff here. I love and hate the updates we get from reporters who are stationed at Olympics or World Cups or major events about hospitality. But I got to ask you about it. What's the lodging like there? What's the situation like? The food? What sort of struck you? What stands out in your time spent so far in Doha?
Well, first of all, we're going to get to the most important side of it. The food is delicious.
Oh, wow.
Some of the best Indian and just in general Middle Eastern cuisine I think I've ever had in my life. Like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to go back to Canada and have the exact same food because I'm now ruined for that. So that's been a pleasant surprise. It's reasonably priced as well, which kind of shocked me because I figured it would be, you know, a bit of a markup just given that everybody's descended onto Doha. And perhaps it is, but certainly compared to Canadian prices, the food is very affordable, which is honestly huge for everybody here. The hospitality has been excellent. The locals are very friendly. I actually did get to spend about 3-4 nights, I believe, in a fan village because I was doing a couple of stories on that. So I got to stay in the shipping containers, all that stuff. To be fair, it's actually... Now, obviously, the price is absurd. It's $200 a night to stay in there. That is absurd. But I feel like the actual accommodation, it's the same size as a standard hotel room. The beds are fairly comfortable. The shower has strong pressure. The water's clean. Pretty much everything about it was fine. It's just the price that they're charging is quite absurd. But it's conveniently located right next to the metro. You barely have to walk anywhere. So that side of it's good, but definitely the pricing could probably use some work on everything, not just the fan village, but even the hotels. There's quite a significant markup, which you expect at events like this.
I certainly would imagine it being a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so embrace that. Enjoy it. Looks like the weather is just pristine. So glad that you've you found a little silver lining in that. One last one. Why is Chris Hadfield there? Is he like their mascot, their mentor? What's going on?
Yeah, so John Herdman actually asked him to come in, and this is such a classic Herdman thing. He kind of wanted to have Chris Hadfield come in and tell his story and sort of motivate the players. He likes to have those motivational speakers come in and sort of give them a different perspective. And then the fact is on the touchline, too, kind of, I think, reinforces that. So that was sort of the play there. I would not be surprised if Herdman brings in another surprise guest for Croatia and Morocco.
Cool.
But Chris Hadfield certainly was a pleasant surprise to see.
Well, I love it. I can't wait to see who else they pull out for the next couple matches. Thanks so much for joining us today, Peter. Appreciate it, and enjoy the next couple days.
I will. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
That was our Insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Peter Galindo from Qatar, Sportsnet soccer writer.
I can only imagine that the message from Hadfield is, shoot for the moon. Because if you miss, you'll be among the stars.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You should put that up here on one of those posters with like the generic image.
The Wayne Gretzky Scott.
Yes.
Cuthbert, whoever first said that.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I'm glad that there's some positivity around the accommodations because you only see the worst, really.
I haven't seen much. That's why I asked.
But you're not a social ever.
I am. Although I will say, I feel like I'm I'm napping during like the prime Twitter hours during the day. So maybe I am missing some things.
Remember when Twitter was going to collapse and now it's just like, oh. Are we on Twitter watch?
Has it survived?
Who knows? I don't really care as much anymore.
Okay.
That was our insider. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. We got a lot to tee up in the Wake and Rake next, including our pick aside, which has been just embarrassing. We could try to preview Canada on Sunday. We do have the lines for that. We have a NFL weekend. We got Leafs starting at 2 p.m. today. We got Raptors and Leafs doubleheader tomorrow. We have your anchor selections in the text line, and we'll get to all of that after the break with the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. It's Friday. Let's put a little change in your pocket. You might go out for some pints on Sunday to watch Canada. Maybe at Cafe Dip.
Little King Street action, maybe with...
I'll be too busy moving, Justin.
I don't know. You can take a break.
Wait, I had a question for the listeners that I needed to... Remember the pose? One of my friends, remember, she asked me.
Oh, right.
Okay, we have like...
Let's go to that.
You have literally 20 minutes to send this in.
You got time.
Okay. A friend of mine is going on a first date on Saturday to watch Mexico, Argentina. And she asked me...
So that's like a morning first date?
No, it's 2 o'clock.
Okay.
She asked me, because I'm sporty, where should I go watch the game on this first date with this individual?
Here's the thing. There's only one place to watch.
Well, I don't know.
Soccer downtown.
But I thought that
I could
pose the question to the listeners. They can just text it in. And she put a lot of pressure on me because she said, well, I told him that you would pick because you're sporty. And I'm like, I don't know.
Wow, name dropping you.
Yeah. So anyway, please let me know where I should send my friend for her date.
Just another thing to consider here as we enter the weekend.
It's a lot of pressure.
A little more stress on you.
She's now asked me twice where she should go. I'm like I'm working on it.
Moving wasn't enough. Just do a quick Google search.
Where would you take a first date to watch Argentina-Mexico in the city of Toronto at 2 p.m. on Saturday? Thank you.
Okay, get those text submissions in. I think we should go to pick aside. But before, just preface, we lost 1 point yesterday.
They gained two.
Just a devastating outcome in the middle game, but we bookended it with a win each. But, of course, Team Daniele and Josh, and today our boy Austin Mackey, he's part of the team, they gained one.
The score is 15-11.
It was a power play from us. They gained one anyway. So let's go to week 12 of Pick a Side.
And now it's time for Pick a Side on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right. I think that they have to go first this
After
time.
Yesterday's actions, probably.
I think that you guys are giving the mic. We were really, rude about it yesterday.
I've been kind of waiting for this. Are we gonna get like Daniele's music? Is something gonna happen here? I'm on the edge of my seat.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
Unfortunately, not. But I was more than willing to let you guys do what you guys did yesterday, just because you guys haven't really been on the same page.
All right.
At all this season, so, Thanks for the free...
I'll just be honest. It remains that way right now.
Well, we'll see how today goes. Are we getting
your first pick?
All right. So with the first pick, they've never let me down. Oh, every time I pick them, I'm picking the Seahawks at -3.5. They'll be well rested.
Oh, we left our mics on during the break there?
Yeah, I mean, they must have been listening.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Sure.
But I always pick the Seahawks. So they're well-rested after a bye, and the Raiders are struggling, so I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Seahawks minus 3.5.
Big, big win for the old Raiders last week. Maybe they can carry over some of that momentum. Our fingers will be crossed, at least, that will happen. But, yeah, we can't lie. We like the Seahawks, too.
That's fine, because our first selection is the Niners minus 8.5 over the Saints.
Lay out the justification, Ailish.
I liked it.
That's it? You're like, this is my pick. This is what we're leading
sometimes
with.
Sometimes you go with your gut.
I like it.
Sometimes you go with your gut. And okay, well, have I not had a successful week? And you liked it, too.
It was kind of a Charles Davis pick, too. I think the rubber stamp would be there from our guy.
Yep.
Who mentioned them as one of the few Super Bowl contenders. They seem to be a legit team. They're firing on all cylinders here with Christian McCaffrey getting settled into that backfield. And they are playing a New Orleans Saints team that is still rolling out Andy Dalton. So
there you go.
We'll just trust that the 49ers can get it done. I will say 8.5, that is the teaser leg of the week. If you're into teasers, tease them down. That is money in the bank.
All right.
Speaking of Charles Davis, he said that he thinks
Josh.
That the Bengals
Don't
are hitting their stride.
Josh.
So I'm actually going to go with the Bengals at minus 2.5 against the Titans.
Whenever I see 2.5, it sets off a little alarm bell for me because it's so obvious, right? It's 2.5. Let's bet it to 3 because you get that key number of 3. And yet people are not betting the Bengals enough to get it to 3. That tells me we're on the right side of things here.
All right. So this was your favorite pick. So congratulations. Bucks minus 3 over the Browns.
Yeah. The Bucks are still 5-5. It's like, okay, they got it together. Well, you're still just 500. They have to be in urgency mode right now. I understand that it's not exactly, a murderer's row of contenders there in the NFC South and that they could pretty much sleepwalk their way. But if they don't want to get embarrassed in a playoff game, I think they got to get things in order. That defense has played really, really well. This is maybe the under game. Well, Denver, Carolina is definitely the under game of the week. Anyway, 42.5 is the total. Tampa Bay has got things figured out on one side of the ball. It's coming now with Tom Brady, who since the big life event has been pretty good. So we'll trust
since
that.
His own move. Yeah, which since is his own most move. Stressful life event you can have.
There you go. Although I don't think he moved. It was they probably have.
I'm sure they did some moving
cash to allow someone else to move their things for them. But yeah, I think Tom Brady's getting things together slowly here, and that trend will continue at Cleveland. I like the 3. There's a decent chance we push here, but I like it anyway.
All right. I was going to go bold with my final pick. I was going to go with the Jags, but the Ravens are scaring me. So I'm going to go with the Chargers at minus 3.
Okay.
Both teams are coming off of a loss, and I'm just more confident that the Chargers are going to bounce back.
So minus 3 at the Arizona Cardinals. We kind of had that one earmarked as well, but it didn't make our top 3.
Okay, before we select our final pick, I'm going to read you something, which will determine if you are on board with this or not.
Okay.
A Twitter user has accurately predicted every single Jets win and loss this year using a coin.
Money line or against the
money
spread?
Line.
All right.
Every single game. We're in week, 13 now? 12? Every single one of them has been correct. He posted this photo on August 12th. A piece of paper with all of the predictions, L, W, L, W, W, and has gotten every single one correct so far.
Were there any, bold predictions there? Or is
I don't
it
know.
Just
I'm not going to go through it all.
Okay.
Yeah, when they beat Buffalo.
Okay,
think about
bold.
Every
there
single
go.
Game.
Yeah, yeah,
they
bold.
Got every single game right.
Well, they, yeah, okay.
Every single game. They're playing against Chicago this week, and he has predicted a loss.
Mm.
So I thought, well, we can't pick the money line, but why would we not pick Bears plus 6? Because, or Jets minus 6.
So even if he's wrong, but only just a bit wrong, we'd still get the point.
I just thought this was an interesting thing to pose. Every single one he's gotten correct.
Okay.
That's spooky. So take that information as you will, because it was either that, or you also liked the Commanders minus 4.
The number hinges completely on Justin Fields' availability. He has apparently a separated shoulder. He may or may not play. It must be his non-throwing shoulder if he's an option to play with a separated shoulder. If he plays, I think they cover this number. I think they probably win the game because he's a very, very dynamic offensive player.
But the coin
player.
Already knows if his shoulders separated or not.
You believe in this coin, Ailish? Do you believe in this coin?
I think it's worth a damn try, Justin.
Yes or no? You believe?
I want the coin.
I know you believe.
Give me the coin.
I love the fact that it's gotten to the point where you guys have to go with the coin flip.
You know what? Right. Shut up, Josh. Let's do it, Justin. What do we have to lose? We're honestly trash at this. So why don't we just let the fates decide?
Okay. I like it. And let's just cross our fingers and hope Justin Fields plays.
Whatever. So Bears plus six?
Bears plus six.
Boom. We're just flipping coins for our picks here.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
That's right.
I would say if we flipped a coin this entire year, we'd probably be doing slightly better.
So, and the other pick, which, well, just remember this, because if my Bears pick loses, you can rub it in my face that you wanted Commanders minus four, okay?
No, I don't want to do that.
Well, I'm just going to write it down anyway.
I'm just going to bet the Commanders anyway and...
Trust the coin.
Not bet the Bears myself. My own account.
All right. So that's our pick aside. Let me run it down one more time. Ailish and Justin have the Niners minus 8.5, the Bucks minus 3, and the Bears plus 6 with the asterisk pick of Commanders minus 4. Behind the glass, they have Seahawks minus 3.5, Bengals minus 2.5, and Chargers minus 3. Ooh, a couple field goal games right there. May the odds be in your favor.
That's their strategy, by the way. They've gone...
They go underdogs or...
Small underdogs.
Small spreads.
I feel like they just pick the small underdogs. Like, just whatever one applies, they go with. It's a good strategy. It's not the coin, though. It's definitely not the coin.
They didn't take the coin. We're good. Okay, so that's our weekend pick aside. So we have World Cup on right now, Qatar and Senegal.
Senegal just took the lead over Qatar.
Well, they allowed the goal to count?
They allowed the goal,
okay.
Yeah.
Senegal up 1-0 over Qatar. In the 42nd minute, Netherlands and Ecuador at 11. So my Netherlands, as we recall.
Your Ecuador as well.
And my Ecuador. So it's a bit of a tough one. Maybe I bet for a tie. Nah, it's boring.
Plus 250, it's not bad.
I'm liking Netherlands, but it's a tight. Like, Netherlands only 125 on the money line. I don't know. It's upset city.
I will say the Netherlands didn't look overly convincing from an offensive perspective. They also didn't look overly convincing at the wingback position defensively. I don't know. I feel like there's a decent chance there's only one goal in this game. I might be looking at a both teams don't score type of deal, but I don't want to.
Sure.
I don't want to get too involved. USA, England, though.
It's a big one.
Very, very interesting. My wake and rake pick will come from this game. I'm going with the Asian line. I'm leaving the door open for a push. Not the worst thing in the world if we just push on one of these three legs. I'm going England minus one. They scored 6 goals in their opener against Iran. Iran looked good against Wales. Wales drew the United States. Now, soccer math doesn't work like that. Just because that happened doesn't mean this will happen. But I think England is by far the superior side in this group. I think they are easily, far and away better than the United States. I think they should win the game. I think there's an opportunity to see it a little bit tighter than it needs to be because that's just the England way. But I will take England to pretty comfortably have a lead, maybe add the second one, and that gives us a win in the wake and rake, at least one of the sides. And if we do have to settle for a 1-0 victory, a 2-1 victory, then we push the leg and I'm okay
with
that.
You're going to fade the United States on their Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, against my England, minus 124, minus one on the Asian line. That is my wake and rake pick.
Okay, so we have lines for Canada-Croatia on Sunday at 11 a.m. As we just teed up with Peter Galindo, it's a must not lose for Canada. For that to happen, to tie is plus 235, and for Canada to win is plus 285.
Now, there's like happiness, happiness hedge opportunities here. You could go Croatia. You could go the double chance Croatia and the tie. But I would never. I would never. I'm doing the same thing. I think the same rules apply for this game. I think we've got to lean on David and Davies. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a first goal. James Sharman said he still believes Vitoria might score the first goal or Kamal Miller will score the first goal.
I'll give you the odds. Who do you want?
I want to just do the exact same thing. I'm probably just going to look at what lost in game one and do it again versus Croatia because I want to cheer for these monumental happenings to happen. It's going
to
happen eventually. I
want
to be there when it happens. Vitoria, Kamal Miller. What's Vitoria? Down on the list. See?
Down on the list. Plus 7,500.
Yeah, that's going in. We need some just five.
That's first goal of the game.
We split up the unit on just five.
Okay, and who else do you want? Kamal Miller, plus 7,000.
Yep.
And if you think that's that we'll get the Alfonso Davies redemption arc.
He might have lost penalty taking duties, though.
But him to score the first goal of the match is plus 1,500.
Still probably worth taking a look at.
All right. Well, God. Couple other things. Tunisia's
plus 120 to beat Australia. I like that. Poland's minus 130 to beat Saudi Arabia. I like that. France minus 129. There's some decent lines to look at this weekend. Usually they're out of control. But we've got, I think, a couple games or a couple matchups, quite a few matchups actually, that are a little bit tighter, give you the opportunity to actually bet them on the money line. So there's a couple out there. If you're looking at teams that did well in the first game, need a win, maybe find the ones that make the most sense from a money line perspective. I think there's a few that stand out.
Okay, so we got quite a few selections in the text line to go through here. So I'm just going to run through them and you let me know if you like one.
Okay.
Ron from Markham. Good morning. Back to our winning ways as mine, Mini Cover, and Juliana's backdoor cover, Jets picks won yesterday. Let's see if we can keep it going. Today I'm going World Cup soccer and I'm going to England versus USA. I think this will be a high scoring affair, so I like England team total goals over 1.5.
Wouldn't be able to do that with mine, so.
Since the Golden State Warriors are playing today, they're always playing, Juliana likes the Warriors to win, but her pick is Steph Curry over 28.5 points. And a bonus pick for tomorrow's Big Ten duel between Michigan and Ohio State. Take Michigan plus 8. Ohio State is a little banged up on offense, and both their running backs are nursing injuries. I like Michigan to cover and even win at plus 260.
Yeah, there'll be a little hedging thing for me there. I got some Ohio State futures. I'm not really feeling confident about them. I'm in on Michigan plus 8, but again, that's for tomorrow.
Okay. I hate to be that guy, but playing it safe paid off, literally. If only you followed Parlay Poppy and the three dream team, they'll make you scream. It just took the money line with all your picks. We'd be screaming right now. With that being said, I have good news. Devils to beat the Sabres. Currently the lock of the night. Devils should be motivated after losing to the Leafs. I know Eilish will be taking Netherlands today. Just be careful. Lots of draws so far. I like the over in the Leafs game. Underdog of the football weekend will be Raiders beating the Seahawks. You heard it here first.
Parlay Poppy doesn't miss. I could be convinced on that Devils to beat the Sabres.
Okay. Take a look at the line on that while I keep reading. Matthews over 1.5 points plus 170. Wild has the most penalty minutes in the league. Only one game in career without a point versus the Wild in three straight games, 2 points. Points in 10 out of 12 overall. That's Big Mac.
Devils minus 175 on Unibet to beat the Sabres.
Can't do that one.
Well, it's within range.
Okay. Well, maybe we will.
Okay, cross
Anchor
it off.
Selection. Leafs and Wild over 6.5 or plus money. Leafs undermanned defense and a rebuilding Wild team. Jay from St. Catharines.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like a tight scoring game to me.
I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Well, guys, I keep sending in these locks that hit, but don't use them in my own parlays. I need to master the confidence of the prosperous, clairvoyant Parlay Poppy. Oh, well, another mortgage payment down the drain. I'm a real ding-a-ling. Yesterday, the Lions covered the spread better than my fat Uncle Dave at our Thanksgiving dinner. They're up in the points and made the Bills' defense look like leftover vegan options, cold and squishy. Today's free money lock of the day. Put your house down. Put your mom's house down. Ovechkin over 0.5 goals. He was probably up late last night raiding the fridge, grabbing turkey legs and cranberry sauce to level up his man powers. With every bite and rip of turkey leg, his wrist gets stronger and stronger. Expect at least 6 goals tonight from him. He'll easily hit the over. Matt in Toronto.
I hope this guy
is like a writer. I hope he has some sort of career in writing. That's all I have to say. Do you like any of that?
It's a bit aggressive.
Okay, let's keep going. Corey from Port Hope. Good morning. Hopefully everyone made some profit off the Vikings last night. Today I'm going to go with Kirill Kaprizov over 3.5 shots. Look for him to carry the play in the Leafs zone of the banged up defense. Corey from Port Hope.
You can twist my arm on that.
To get out of this betting funk, and the best way is to bet on the team that is 11-0 at home, Boston in regulation at plus 100. Chris and Moncton.
They are playing the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, it's tough one
today. Yeah, I think we just go money line on that.
A few more. I'm going to give you my first Wake and Rake submission. This is Rick Ian Markham. I'm taking the Celtics money line over the Kings. No, light the beam. Kings are traveling on holiday weekend. They are either going to be a little bit out of it, or you can take the Celtics money line or the spread. Either one, I think the spread is 190. Money line is 120. I can't bet against the beam. Deleting that from the dog.
Not happening.
Unibet's from Toronto. Despite recent trends and solid D from the Leafs, I like the over 6.5. Fleury will show his age against a Leaf team who will get lots of power play chances. Celebrate Black Friday and get a huge discount on Baylor to cover the 8.5 against an overrated Texas Longhorns team. Wow, we've never gotten a same day college football. Okay, two more. Whew. TJ from Port McNichol. My wake and rake hit. Well, let's try it again. Yes, this is copy and pasted. Mark Scheifele over 2.5 shots. His line has been rolling and has 3+ shots in the last 4.5 games. If you're feeling frisky, try Connor over 3.5. He has 4+ shots in the last 5 games.
Okay, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. What's your wake and rake pick? Put that in and then we'll fill the gap.
Okay, my wake and rake pick is John Tavares over 2.5 shots. He has been one of the most consistent players on the Maple Leafs. That partnership with Marner is going well, and 2.5 is low. He's hit that every single time in the last 5 games. So, boom, over 2.5 shots, John Tavares.
I think the pick I like the most is the Devils to beat the Sabres, Parlay Poppy. What do you think? What's your number one?
Honestly, I just blacked out reading all that.
There was a lot there. I just shortened up these texts. We love the long texts, but these are... That was
Devils minus 175. Let's just do it.
Let's do it. The Devils, I mean, if we're talking about class, the Devils are at the very top of the league. The Sabres have been going through it. Yes, they won but the other night, but it's the tale of two teams right now.
Okay, it's and a I heavy it's juice,
minus,
but...
Minus 200 for that?
It is.
I think we got to take it.
Wow, I appreciate all the texts in. I was like a workout. John Tavares over 2.5 shots. England on the Asian handicap minus 1, and New Jersey Devils to beat the Buffalo Sabres minus 175. What if we put them in regulation? Let me just look for fun.
Okay.
Minus 106.
Now we're massaging Parlay Poppy's pick.
I don't want to upset Parlay Poppy. No.
No, let's do it. And Parlay Poppy will have an epic text if they win in overtime and the parlay loses for that reason.
If he's this confident, he said lock of the night, put like lock of the century, couldn't be happier about this. Then you know what, Parlay Poppy, we're going for the regulation win.
User's choice.
We make the rules here. Okay, so all together, Devils in regulation added instead of just money line, plus 471 on Unibet.
Still pretty good.
Sorry, no Parlay problem. Poppy, I'm worried.
Oh, it's because we did juice it up. We had to juice it up then. If we only got to plus 477. I like it. I think that's, we're going to bookend the week with two winners. Just to reiterate, Croatia plus 110 on the three-way line this weekend, Sunday at 11 versus Canada. Canada to win its first World Cup game. They'll need to score its first goal to get there. Plus 285, and the draw would be plus 235. And as Peter Galindo said earlier on in the hour, the plus 235 result isn't the worst thing in the world for Canada, which would still have a chance to qualify with its last match of the group stage against Morocco.
I say they do it
on Thursday.
Seeing that Croatia front page tabloid, it's going to fuel the boys even more. I hope they print it out and put it on the wall of their dressing room.
Okay.
I mean, it is the naked John Herman, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe they won't do that. You got to stop saying that. It's not actually him.
I mean, technically it is him, but not.
Oh, Herman's a popular guy. If you say naked John Herman, people might get the wrong message.
People are going to start running to Twitter. That's what they're going to do.
That's what I'm saying.
So just, but it's technically what they went for was a naked John Herman with a headline that will get the boys fired up for Sunday's match.
So the bulletin board material is there, but it should be all the motivation in the world anyway. Canada and Croatia this Sunday. We cannot wait to break that down on Monday. This has been the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.